to the Lars Larson Show. Pleasure to be with you. Glad to get to your call shortly at 866-439-5277. You know, we've been talking quite a bit about the hashtag MeToo movement, but is it undermining justice by saying that you must automatically believe the victim in all cases involving allegations of sexual assault? Michelle Owens joins me now, who's an attorney and a spokeswoman for the Stop Abusive and Violent Environments Group. Ms. Owens, it's a pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So I understand that it's a very, very tempting thing to say that anytime somebody alleges a sexual assault, that you should always believe the victim. And that effectively means you should never believe the person who's accused, because that person is likely saying, no, I didn't do it. But what is that kind of approach that seems to be coming about largely because of all of the incidents that have grown out of the original Harvey Weinstein investigation? What's that doing to the integrity of our legal system?
Well, it's completely eroding it. And, you know, believe the victim sounds good on its face. But what happens is, if you don't afford due process to everybody, to every individual, every group, even those that you know they're wrong, if you don't afford them due process, then slowly all of due process becomes eroded and nobody gets a fair shot when they are accused of things. And that's what's happening with Believe the Victim. You know, even the name, Believe the Victim, already you're saying there is a victim, and that's saying there's guilt involved and whoever was accused has done it. You know, in the legal world, the real legal world, we call it the alleged victim. It's always alleged, the alleged perpetrator, because you haven't gone through the process of investigation and a trial and determined guilt yet. But with Believe the Victim, guilt is determined at the very outset, just by the phrase.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And Ms. Owens, you know that most of the America, not the legal profession necessarily, but most of the rest of average folks out there who are not prosecutors, they're not district attorneys, they get their information on these situations from the media, from the news media and media like talk radio. And most of the media that I watch, they will say an alleged murderer because the charges haven't been proved. But in the case of rape or sexual assault, I can't remember the last time I heard one of my colleagues in the mainstream media refer to it as an alleged victim.
Right, because they're taught not to. You know, it's there's a whole movement with Believe the Victim and trauma and enforced investigations where you're taught, and it's a teaching that's almost religious in its momentum. But it's a feminist teaching that says that the woman is the victim, and that from the outset you believe her, and if her story is a little bit different at times, or it doesn't quite correlate to some of the time sequences that you know, then that's because she was traumatized. And there's some junk science that's going in with the trauma brain that's, you know, completely unreliable. But what's happening is they're saying if the woman is inconsistent, that just proves that she was sexually assaulted. And, you know, getting back to what you said, that no one refers to a rape victim as an alleged victim, it's because it's the mentality. I mean, I believe if somebody in the media said that today, they would just be hounded for saying, you know, an alleged victim. It, you know, you're not giving her, you're dissuading people from reporting, and you're not acknowledging what she's gone through.
And yet it would fit right in. It would fit right into our constitutional approach, which says you must give due process to the person who is alleged to have committed this crime. And if you do otherwise, in fact, our system, I'm proud of our system, that it is so focused on the rights of the individual that if we say we've accused somebody of a crime and we do not give him due process, we can literally let a very serious criminal who really did do the deed walk free because the system did not give him due process. That's the ultimate protection, isn't it?
Right, and that's how serious and how thoughtful our forefathers were about due process, because they had lived without it. So when they wrote the Constitution, they knew that you need to always have due process, and once you start eroding that, you become a dictatorship, and you don't have any freedoms at all. All of your freedoms start dwindling. We don't get to pick and choose the freedoms. You know, it's like people who want freedom of speech. You have to let the people that you hate say the things about America or whatever you really believe in. You have to let them talk badly about that, because if you don't, then your freedom to speak is also derailed.
I'm talking sorry, ma'am, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
I just have so many questions, and I apologize for stepping on you. Michelle Owens is with us.
No.
From a group called Save.
I'll keep talking.
Well, and you and me both. I mean, that's what we do, right? But I'm wondering what mechanism can we use to get back to that, to be able to establish that as a standard for reporters, for people who comment on things like me, to say you're going to have to take maybe a few, you know, whippings on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever, if you decide to treat both parties equitably. How do we get that? How do we get to that point? How do we get, for instance, journalists to do that?
Well, I think the main way you do it is education and continuing to get the word out. You know, the reason that the Me Too movement is so strong right now is because there are some feminist groups with a lot of money behind them. You know, money is usually at the core of it, and it's a political movement. So I think just educating what we're doing right now, telling people, you know, a lot of people that I know haven't heard of Title IX and don't really understand what it is, and assume that if somebody is charged with sexual assault on a college campus, that he's guilty. Well, what they don't know is that the definition of assault on college campuses is different than the legal definition. That touching somebody in a sexual manner might mean that you touched them on the shoulder and they believed or perceived it to be in a sexual manner. And that wouldn't stand up in court. None of us. We would laugh at it. You know, unwanted flirting is now stalking on college campuses. Well, you know, I may have said this before, but, you know, some guys are a little slow and they don't get it right away. So if there's some unwanted flirting, let's give them a break and not call them a stalker.
I think that's perfectly reasonable to do. And in fact, some of them are probably even deliberately slow. I mean, I'd be willing to accept that there are some, and it's mostly guys, although I think a few of us could think of girls who would fit in, or young ladies who would fit into this category, where you say, this person just doesn't get the idea. I don't want anything to do with them. And I think that can apply to both genders. And yet, they just don't get the message. And maybe there may need to be people around them who will remind them of that. But I guess I'm most focused on my business, saying I used to be a reporter and I tried to treat people equitably in the stories that I did. And the problem is, if you've got one person who said something did happen and another person who said, no, it didn't, should you treat one as superior to the other by saying, oh, no, this young lady's story is correct, and the young man who's denying it, he's not only a rapist or an assaulted person, he's actually just a liar as well.
Well, if you took it out of the rape context and you presented that scenario, a hypothetical, with something else, you know, maybe something really, you know, non-catchy, like somebody stole some gum out of a store, one person says it didn't happen, one person says it did, and you presented that to people, I think most people would say, well, you need to get some evidence. You know, you need to make sure and not believe one over the other. Why would you put one above the other? But yet, that's what we're being told to do with these rape cases or rape accusations, and it's not right. It's not fair, and it's just propaganda. That's all it is.
Ms. Owens, would you mind reminding people where they can find information from your group, SAVE?
Absolutely. It's saveservices.org, and you can find everything you need to know about Title IX and due process rights there. And I can be reached at title9representation.com.
Ms. Owens, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. If somebody's not happy with their gender, is it really